Understand this. The physical world is just a place where we demonstrate what is going on in the realm of the spirit. So when the Bible says, himself took our infirmities, listen to this. It was as if they were on the table. You know, stock trading or whatever, commodity trading. And they were saying, okay, all right, look at all their problems. How much is it? And they negotiate. And they cut off his life. Are you getting my point? And hand it over. And physically what you hear is, cham! You hear, you know what I mean? That was a, you hear the stroke of the lash of a Roman soldier. Then they push another thing out of him again. Then you hear another stroke. You couldn't touch him physically except in the realm of the spirit he was giving up something. Please follow what I'm saying. It wasn't a joke. I'm not emphasizing the fact that these things were paid for. The challenge of Christianity is for us to accept it. That's the challenge of Christianity. The challenge of Christianity is for people to know. Listen, let me tell you as a matter of fact. I say it again and again. If you believe it, hear this. You will never be poor in this life. Amen. You know why? Because on the day of negotiation, are you getting my point? They brought out your problems and said, this is Nwachukwu's poverty. And they said, how much? And they explained the cost. And they cut out of his life and exchanged it for it. So he took it. That is what is called the death of Christ. Please, I hope you are getting what I'm going to explain. They said, because of the sins of their family, the ancestors, all the problems, all his children, they are going to have dull heads. I don't know what that means. And they said, what is the price? And there was a negotiation again. To pay, he cut out of his life and handed over. That is, the devil does not have any right to put that dullard spirit on any of those children. He doesn't have it anymore. Why? Literally, payment was made. Please, you must understand what I'm saying. Literally, payment was made. Therefore, don't be afraid. They said, Angelina Jolie went and removed both of her breasts because she came from a family that had a history of breast cancer. And if you have a family in which there's a history of breast cancer, they say you can go and screen for what we call breast cancer gene 1, BRCA1. And if your own is mutated, the chance of getting an aggressive kind of cancer, which you say is triple negative, don't worry, it's plenty. If you hear the English here, it's frightening. I was surprised to hear our own figures. I said, because something I'm supposed to know. Let me go and verify. I said, 87%. I said, wow, that's kind of high, you know. I didn't know. In that case, you should have developed what we call Swiss cheese disease by now. If you didn't have it, then there's some. Anyway, the summary of it is this. The guy said, what shall we do? Let us go and remove both breasts and reduce the chances to what? 5%. And if you know the devil, that 5% is good enough. If you know the devil, that 5% is good. At the same time, they said, there's an increased likelihood of having ovarian cancers, ovaries. And somebody said, I should remove the ovaries. And the answer is, no. Let me just say something. Don't trust a man too much. You know, I've been warning you. Let me give you an information. 5 years ago, but 5 years ago, they may have removed both of our ovaries to prevent cancer of the ovary, only to find out later that cancers of the ovary don't come from the ovaries. And you know, it's my job. I know these things. We found out over the last few years that cancers of the ovaries don't come from the ovaries. They come from the fallopian tubes and rest on the ovary. Because for a long time, they were removing ovaries to stop cancers of the ovary. But it never stopped. It just started growing somewhere else. So that's why they discontinued it. That's why her ovaries are still intact. Let me gloss over. Maybe somebody will tell her, look, go and take out the fallopian tubes. Now, when we're reading Hebrews chapter 3 and Hebrews chapter 4, we're told that those who have believed have ceased from their own works. And I explain what their own works means. Their own works simply means, when I have a BRCA1 gene that is strong and is there, I go and take off both of my breasts and both of my fallopian tubes. It's called my own works. I said to you then, Human labor is to overcome the effect of the power of death. That's what human labor is about. You know, doctors spend billions, no, not doctors now, scientific world, I wanted to say. They spend billions of dollars every year trying to overcome the things that cause diseases. You can be sure, look, let me tell you the truth. They are not closer to it now than they were 10 years ago. Yeah, and there are many reasons for it, all right? They are not closer. To the making of books, there's no end. Just keep on making the books. The disease, when they find you've gone this way, they go the other way. And sometimes we run one direction for a long time and find out that we're on the wrong direction. Then we start again. So the last 10 years of survey and research, lost. We start again. And a lot of times, we don't tell ourselves the truth. Yeah, yeah. A very good example, HIV. There are two diseases in this world that will be wiped out instantly once you remove promiscuity. One of them is HIV. One of them is cancer of the cervix. But the world, they don't go that way. They spend billions developing vaccines against cancer of the cervix. But don't tell us not to have sex recklessly. Don't tell us that. That is, no, iniquity is expensive. Except that we like to pay the price. It's expensive. In the world today, sin costs money. Listen, sin is expensive. It's costing us money every day in the world. It's costing us money. Let me sit on my message. So this is the point. So is Angelina Jolie, what is she doing? She's laboring. So she's fighting against the force of death. She reduced her chance from 87 to 5%. And I say, if you know the devil, 5% is good enough. Why? It's not a game of chance. I don't know whether you're getting my point. It is not a game of chance. But actually what she did not know is that there was a time they were negotiating on that table of trade. They said Angelina Jolie, her family, her mother, breast cancer. And they said, how much? And they told Jesus the price, and he paid so that she would not have to have breast cancer or have her breast removed to prevent it. There's just one problem. He came onto his own, and his own did not receive him. Many times Jesus came to people that he has worked for. And he says, listen, I told you before, Christianity is not come to my church. No, it's not come to my church. It's not let's build a great number. How many of us are not in Boko Haram wearing Christianity? That's not what it is. Christianity is simply, all these your struggles, they came to an end a long time ago. Do you believe it? Christianity simply means that all these your fears, they have been taken care of. All you need to do is believe it. Christianity is not about, do you want to come to our church? Which church is your own? No, I was born an Anglican. No, I was born a Catholic. No, now Celestial Church of Christ, they born me. All those kind. That's not what Christianity is. Like I said, give your life to Christ and go to the mosque if you like. Except that it's not possible. You understand my point? No, it's not about which church you go to. We are trying to explain to you that your debts have been paid. Do you believe it? That's what it's about. Please, I hope you're following the point I'm making. I hope what I'm saying is clear to you. That is, on that operating table, you know, that negotiation table, each of your problems were brought forth, and it was, the cost was placed there, and Jesus paid the price for everybody. That's what we're talking about. Each one. That's what the Bible said. He took our infirmities. So what you find is that once they finish one transaction, on the earth, on the physical earth, a drop of blood will fall. I don't know whether you're getting what I'm saying. You hear one Roman, go and watch the film again. So now, this time when you're seeing the film, just imagine what is going on. So the whip will arrive, bam, hit his body. As the Roman soldier brings it off, the blood will splash in every corner. Each drop Each drop is a manifestation of something that has been paid for. Each drop. Each time they tore his skin. Hey, you know, if we understood, if God would give us a revelation, all right, you would have seen what that one took care of. You know, because, you know, every hair on the head is numbered, you understand? So I can assure you of one thing. Every cell that was on his body was numbered. Each one you rip off, you say, okay, that is the one that took care of the poverty of this particular lineage of those people that moved away from Aaron Dizogu that time and relocated in this place. Yes, that's been taken care of. Their poverty is gone. I'm telling you, they know. It's a spiritual transaction, but on the earth, something physical will drop. I noticed something. When God was giving the people, the children of Israel, commandments, he kept on emphasizing, you can eat this, you can eat that, but don't take the blood. Always pour it on the ground. Are you getting my point? He said, yes, always pour it on the ground like water. Always pour it on the ground like water. And he was so emphatic about it. And we knew that these things were types, were shadows. So I was thinking, why was he so emphatic on don't eat it? Pour it on the ground as water. And this is my own understanding again. I said, what was happening is that God is saying to them in simple terms, this thing, there's a job you're supposed to do. We are using it for transactions beyond that of eating and drinking. Are you getting my point? What we are doing is that as the blood of Jesus is being poured on the ground, it's doing something expensive. It's not there to entertain you or make you feel good. You are getting what I'm trying to explain? Every sickness, every disease, every problem was paid. It was not like, okay, we are tired of being sick. No, it's a negotiation. This is a hereditary disease that will follow this family for 7 generations. It's all right. How much is it? They tell him, and then out of the power in his spirit, the life that he had, they will cut from it and they will exchange it. And on the earth, boom, you hear under stroke. Until he looked and said, it is finished. Are you getting my point? Until he looked and said, it is finished. All the problems, they are finished. All the premature deaths, they are finished. All the diseases, they are finished. You know, I say something all the time. I pray we rearrange our brains so as to know how to interpret our problems. Listen to me. I will say it again. No devil can sit down somewhere and decide to put an affliction on a believer. He can't. Why? Because he knows it's been paid for. All he does now is to try and deceive people. Every time you watch the news, is argument. Yeah, are you getting my point? It's a spiritual distinct. Let me try and deceive you that you have a problem. You know, they told us every time then how much we had problems in Africa. And we believe those things and we all ran abroad. Now we have reached there now and realized that there's no solution there. And they're now telling us again that Africa is the fastest growing economy. I said, look, better stop reading this news. You know, a few days ago, one of our brothers went for a procedure, a medical procedure. So at the end of the day, of course, it told us ahead of time, so we're all praying. At the end of the day, the doctor said, well, there's no problem, everything is okay. So everybody will say, oh, thank God. I sent another message to our group. I said, brethren, I thank God for what the doctor said, that there's no problem. But please, let's not hang our hope on their verdict. Before he went, we declared there was no problem. Now that he's back, we continue to declare according to the word of God that there's no problem. Not because the doctor told us there's no problem. Our news is not from him. Because, you see, these things are spiritual negotiations. If at the end of the day, all of us say, praise God. The doctor says, what did the doctor say? No problem. Hey, doctor. I said, doctor, thank you. I said, fine. So, their faith is where? In the doctor. So, Satan will come and let the doctor call him back. Tell them there's a problem. Everybody will run into panic. And then he uses their panic to power the spiritual realm. Oh, the Lord is good. What I've told is not a joke. You know, sometimes, you know, when I watch films, then I see spiritual things. There's one of the movies I love most. I recommend that one. Monsters Incorporated. I've told you about it before. It's not for children. It's for every spiritual man who wants to learn a lesson. It's an animated this thing. Why am I talking about that? The evil spirit is there, the monsters. You know how they power their spiritual world? Their own world, the monster. They're not supposed to be, they are not evil spirits in the film. They're just a parallel world to our own. They come into the homes of children and scare them. And when the children scream, they will bottle the scream. You understand my point? They now use to connect to their power grid. It is the scream of earthly people that power their spiritual operations. What am I going to explain? When we are afraid, when the devil gets us to scream in fear, I believe he packets that one and uses it to fund the spiritual problems that he's trying to cause for us. I believe very strongly that if we all held on to the word of God and we are positive in our confession according to the thing that God said about us, are you getting my point? One day, Boko Haram will just pack and disappear. Are you following the point I'm making? I believe that if we, listen, economic problems will just pack one day and vanish. Because what it's trying to do to you and to me is to convince us that we have problems that God said we don't have. Listen, there were famine those days, though. I hope you know that. When Jesus said, take no thought for tomorrow. There were turmoils in the society when Jesus said, don't be careful, don't be concerned about what tomorrow will be like. Don't think economic hardship began in the 19th century and spread to the 20th century. And we're now in it in the 21st century. No. It has always been there. It was there hot. The time Jesus said, don't take any thought for tomorrow. And what is the reason? It is simple. Because he understood what was going on. That if I pay, now get the point again. If I pay for your destiny, no economic hardship can turn it down. Remember what I said? All you need to do is what? Believe what I've said. Believe this word of God. Believe what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. The Bible says, don't harden your heart. I was preaching somewhere. Somebody told me something. That somebody passed a comment later. Because I was talking about these witches and wizards and all of that. He said, Pastor is talking like that because he's not from my place. You didn't hear what I said? That pastor is talking like this. If he comes to my place and see the kind of obanje, the kind of babalawo way they there. That's what the Bible calls doubt. That's foolish doubt. Where are you from? Have you been from to my own place? Are you getting my point? Where have you been? How do you know what is in my place? You don't understand. Like I say all the time, my speech is not based on what is there or what is not there. My speech is based on what is here. Are you getting my point? Because greater is he that is in me. Listen, don't come and give me anything in your heart as somebody's talking. Say, Pastor, you don't understand. Do you know when I was a child, we had to go out to go and beg to eat? So? I don't know what I get my point. How has that disproved what I'm talking about? Although, no, because I always tell people that forget that nonsense. There's enough story in this world to tell, to let you know you're talking nonsense. Not even the Bible. Now, before we go to the Bible level, physical level on this earth, I can tell you enough stories to let you know that you're talking nonsense. You, that's thinking in your heart that I don't know what I'm saying. What am I going to explain? Listen, as this word is coming forth, listen, don't try to understand anything. Just believe everything. What did I say? Just believe everything. What is the everything I'm explaining? I'm saying this is why Jesus came. We're talking about the work of Christ. He came and he paid. His coming was not a joke. It was not to create another religion. It was to make a real and tangible payment to ensure that what you are afraid of is removed from your destiny. So I said, there's nobody hearing the word of God, this word that I'm preaching, that will ever be poor in this life. Amen. None will die prematurely. Amen. Sickness will hold no one down. Amen. Why? Because somebody paid. Listen, that was why I told you then, everybody said, if you don't go to America, you won't. I always used to laugh. I heard somebody say to me once, he said, I'm sorry for you. That is, I'm not kidding about that. I wrote it in one of my books. I had two colleagues, females. Of course, that was what was filling my heart then. So all I used to do was talk about these things that were inside my heart. One of them said to me, he said, you have found what many people are still looking for. The other one said, I'm sorry for you. What does I'm sorry for you mean? You don't know the problems of this life. No, what does I'm sorry for you mean? It means that you have not seen what we have seen. What did she mean by I'm sorry for you? She felt that I was talking out of ignorance. That it's because I had not seen the giants in the land. That's why I'm still bragging on the fact that my God is big. What she did not understand was that I was seeing the giants. In fact, my own giants were large. They were very big. They were very tall. They would pay us at the end of the month, and our salary was 5,000 naira. And people say, yeah, things were cheaper then. They were not much cheaper. Dollar was already crawling to becoming almost 100 naira. And that's not the issue. The issue is that I didn't have money. So for some reason, I didn't used to go anywhere. When they bring shirt, this shirt, if one woman brought trousers for me to buy one day, I told her, I said, if that was there, I stopped buying things from her. As if I was your brother. And I came home with a pair of trousers. A pair of trousers was my home, was I think 1.5 months salary or two. As if I give it that. In fact, that day I was very angry with that woman. She used to sell things. He said, look at it. He showed me the tag. One of these, what nonsense. I said, clear, my friend. We sat down there. The point is this. If you talk to me, everybody that knew me then understood how positive I was about life. And I told them simply, why? It's written, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. And I told people, I said, listen, I can never, this one you are seeing is the poorest I will ever be in life. And this is a fact. It was the poorest I ever was in life. And this one you are seeing today, 2013, is the poorest I will ever be in life. Same to you. Amen. What did I say? Same to you. Tell your neighbor, same to you. So if you are not dead now, tell your neighbor. If you are not dead now, you are not dying again. That is the poverty that couldn't kill you before today. It misses opportunity. You are getting what I'm going to explain. The failure that couldn't get you to hang yourself before today missed that opportunity. Listen, that's my testimony. I said, people tell me, look, there are people who looked at me and said, is this guy mad? I still remember I went and told some people that I'm planning to apply for a job as a lecturer. You don't understand what I mean? Professors were earning 8,000 naira a month when dollar was about 18 naira to the dollar. You know what that means? They were getting by $100 a month. In today's naira, it's like paying a professor at the end of the month 20,000 naira or less. It's about 160 now. No, that's the truth. They couldn't buy cars. Ask your fathers if you were not old enough to know what was going on that time. So I now woke up in the midst of all of that. So I wanted to become a lecturer. I still remember that day. Some people glanced at each other like, now we know this guy is not normal. But you know the interesting thing? I told you something at the beginning. Stop doing things, you know, you don't believe in just because you are afraid of tomorrow. I told everybody what I loved to do was to teach. I liked to teach. I'm here now doing what? Teaching the word of God. Some people like to see visions. They pray until God shows them visions. God, the only vision I'm interested in is the vision about my life. I don't want anybody gathering around me hoping I'll see vision for him or for her. But can I show you one thing? I still got a mail a few days, yesterday or so. A young man saying how he was despondent and frustrated with life until he began to hear this word in 2005. And that today is a living testimony. I didn't know him, didn't see any vision for his life, didn't know where he was hearing me from, wasn't hearing me from Enugu here. Listen, don't be bragging. No. You know, Jesus will come and say, I'm the bread of life. Was he bragging? Either you are the bread of life or you are not the bread of life. Listen, I am anointed to teach. No, be brag. Why did you leave your house this Saturday evening? So for me to tell you I'm anointed is not bragging. Say, why is he so full of himself? I'm full of an anointing. What's wrong with you? I know what I'm talking about. And the manifestation of it is that when I teach people the word of God, it transforms their lives. One day, one woman called me. He said, can you remember me, sir? I said, yes, I do remember. Once I traveled from this place to there, she heard I was teaching somewhere. She came there to come and, you know, hear me teach and then talk to me. Then once she came to Enugu to talk. Anyway, I remember some years ago. He said, then you said you're not a prophet, but that I should mark your words. She was reminding me of all of this. And I told her some things. He said, sir, everything you said has come to pass. And called to that she kept on calling. He said, I have to talk to you. I must share this testimony. Once I was in university, as the president of my fellowship, once I came to fellowship one evening, and she'd been crying. So she looked, when I looked at her, told me all her problems. They were about to withdraw from her faculty. I was a young boy too. You know, you can imagine, as a student, you know, now at least I'm no longer a student. I've not been a student for a very long time. But then I was a student. Well, to get the perspective right, I left university in 1991. That's 22 years ago, right? And this was like a year or two before then. So, you know, how long ago I was, you can look at how young I am right now. Subtract 23 years. All I'm going to say is that when she offloaded the problems, I was as confused as she was. No, I was as confused. I still remember her. I still remember. I was as confused as she was. So I just said, okay, which room do you stay in? She told me, okay, I'll see you later. I'll see you later was, before I come to see you, let me go and pray on what I'll be able to tell you. And just leave my presence now, lest my confusion becomes obvious. You know, that kind of thing. That was the, okay, which room do you stay in? Okay, write your room number here. I'll come there. Then that day I said I'll come. Thank God I didn't find something else to do. You know, sometimes I just say, okay, I'll go around that time. You know why? Because she was waiting. As soon as I reached there, what did I do? Nothing now. What do I know to do? I brought out my scripture. I'm trying to prove to you I'm anointed to teach. I began to teach. I was just what I, you know, the word of God doesn't have to make human sense. How shall these things be, seeing that I know no man? He said the Holy Spirit will overshadow you. So when I just began to talk, you're a victor in Christ Jesus. The Bible says this. I just quoted scriptures. All I know as I was talking, that's what they call an anointing. As I was talking, she was getting lighter, lighter, and lighter. By the time I finished talking, she was laughing uncontrollably. I did that and left. Thank God I didn't know what else to do. I didn't ask her anything. Didn't tell her anything. I just left. I didn't ask how far. What happened? What did not happen? I didn't ask any of those questions. One day I was standing in fellowship again. Long after, I can't remember how long after. And she walked up to me and said, I just want to tell you that they said I'm not going to be withdrawn anymore. And if I do this and do this and this, the faculty said I can do this and this. And that, and I said, oh, praise God. Hallelujah. After she left, I said, Lord, thank you very much. What's the point? Did I have any wisdom to help her? No. I'm anointed to teach. And when I taught her the word of God, it bore fruit in her life. Let me tell you, the things I have been saying, if all you said in your heart to them were amen. Let me tell you, young guys, you marry a wife you love to pieces, who loves you to pieces. You will, I'm telling you the truth. You will have very lovely children. Your children will be top in their class. Somebody will ask you, I say, are you sure they are your children? They will look at your wife. He say, yes, they are our own. He said, you were dull when you were young. He said, that was then. This is now. Are you getting my point? Yes, and not because you labored, though. Just because you heard the word and you believed it. You follow what I'm saying? You follow what I'm saying? Listen. What am I trying to do? Explaining to you that you must not let fear take you away from the center of what you are skilled in doing. With all of this, somebody now tell me that I should go and look for a job in an oil company. I said, like, to go and do what? Did they teach? No. I'm a teacher. I don't belong there. That's what I'm going to explain. That they said, well, I wanted to go and they're looking like, listen, I have students, natural students, that are my, they are my disciples for life from teaching pathology.
You.
I take no you.
Diogo.
I can keep pointing them. Many of them are not here. Because I entered into class with an anointing to teach. What am I going to say? When I made that decision, poverty was obvious in the life of every lecturer, doctor or no doctor. But after teaching for some time, you know, the gist was that, Dr. Nation loves cars. Nah, I could afford them. It became the gist. I said, I don't use short cars. Why should I use a short car? My car must be tall. It's the will of God. Poverty doesn't show on me, does it? The word became what? Flesh. And dwelt in my suit. You are getting the point I'm making. Listen, in your life, this word we are preaching will become flesh.
Amen.
Let me tell you something. One day somebody will come and tell you, sir, please, you see, say, please, I don't have time. Summarize. How much? 1 million. Just write the check, 1 million. All right, I'll see you later. Is that your name?
Amen.
I know you won't remember until the first day you do it. Then you now remember that one day you were told. Please, so important you understand this. This is why we teach. That's why we preach. Once you know that, you won't be making decisions because of the fear of death. Whatever you love to do, you know today. Siben, where are you? Is it there? Okay. He says something that excited me. Those native clothes I wear, that's the guy that makes them, you know. So he called me today to thank me about, because somebody saw one of them on me, you understand? And I said, please, who makes this? So I gave the guy the number. So anyway, he and the fellow spoke. So he called me to thank him, and he called me to thank me for linking him with that guy, and you were just talking. And I said, okay, the other one you made for me, that because somebody sent me a birthday present, so my wife just, you know, we just arranged with Siben, so they made something. And I said, what did the guy say? Because just to tell the fellow thank you, I took a picture of it and sent to the fellow. And I said, the guy says it's very, very nice. Anytime I wear it, that he will be blessed. You know, that kind of way, just talking about it. And I said something. He said, yes, that is what I like. He said, I like people to be happy. When if I make something, you know, I want them to be happy wearing it. I don't know, did you catch that? I don't know whether you caught that. That is for something to bubble out of your soul. I don't know what, you know, I tell you about my mechanic. One day my mechanic finished repairing my wife's car. And I came to call and said, no, let madame come and collect it herself. Because I wanted to give her a lecture in how not to spoil the car. I don't know what is my point. That's how much he loves the car. So it's like, what happened? And madame let this happen. No, I need to talk to her. He explained how to do this. That, please, ma, if this engine were to spoil, we'll have to pay 350,000 naira to get another one. That is, he had to give a lecture. I said, I wish people would do what they love like that in this life. Many people are counting money where they don't belong because they pay them some of it. Why? Fear of death. Fear of poverty. Let me announce to you again today, you will not be poor.
Amen.
I don't know who your father is, or whether you are Nigerian, Cameroon, Nigerian, or from Mali. That's not what I'm discussing. What I know is that I read the scriptures and that the Bible says that to as many as believed in him, I'm adding many things together, they passed out of death, as children of God, they passed into life, and because of his own death, he took them out of poverty and he gave them prosperity. And he said to them, through his servant Banky, are you hearing my point? That, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. That's the summary of it. That is the summary of it. Why did Jesus come? So that fear of death will not keep you in bondage. That you won't wake up every day going to a work you hate because you feel if I live here, poverty is my portion. Meanwhile, every day opportunities open for you to do that which you really love. I pray. Listen, I'm digressing, but let me say this and I close in 5 minutes. No, not even up to 5 minutes, in 2 minutes, all right? Listen, God created you to be a blessing to somebody.
Amen.
Your influence in life, that's where it is.
That is a summary of what I want to say. You know what Jesus came to do? To make it easy for you to do the will of God. Many people are out of the will of God because of fear. That's what I'm going to explain. Jesus came to make it easy for you to do the will of God. Let me say it again. Jesus came to make it easy for you to do the will of God by wiping out the cause, the reason why people usually don't do it. They are afraid. I hope you've gotten my point.